Okay, guys, we've got two guests this morning, two gentlemen from First Baptist Church Keller who are checking us out. So try to stay awake, okay? We're really glad to have them this morning. They're kind of on a fact-finding mission, getting ready to launch a men's ministry at their church. And so they're here to visit with us, and we're glad to have them. Well, we're going to talk about a topic that is near and dear to my heart, the lack of time. Anybody struggle with time? You know, I didn't want to teach this lesson. Because I really struggle with time, having enough of it. You know, if you're like me, you've said this more than once. If I just had a little bit more time, you know, just a little bit, Lord, I don't need a lot, just one more hour. I know what I'd do with it. I'd probably sleep, but just one more hour would be nice. And some guys did that this morning. They're still in bed, and that's okay. But how about this? You ever said, there's just not enough hours in the day? We feel that way, don't we? You get to the end of the day, if your day's like mine and you're exhausted, you've got about one-third of your to-do list done and 14 things added to it that you weren't planning to do, and you're tired, you're exhausted, and you and your wife kind of sit there and stare at each other bleary-eyed. The kids are finally in bed. They're not asleep, but they're in bed. And there's just not enough time. You just can't get it all done, and you struggle with it. And we're going to talk about this because it ties directly to this issue of leadership. If you and I are going to be leaders, spiritual leaders, time is an important part of it. And we find ourselves totally out of time. We don't have enough time. We don't have enough time to be good dads. We don't have enough time to be good spiritual leaders in our home. We don't have enough time to spend with our wives. I shared with you last week that last Sunday night was the perfect storm in our home. My kids are all gone. I'm working in my office. My wife walks in, and I don't want to give her eye contact because I know she wants to talk. You know, you can sense that. We have that sense in our, you know, God's given us that. Our wife walks in and we're just, and it can happen to me at night. Usually it's at night when we're in bed and I'm laying there and my wife's next to me and I can tell when she's not asleep. And I go through these mental gymnastics of just breathe real deeply and act like you're asleep. She'll think you're asleep. But I can't sleep. And finally I'll say, honey, are you okay? And what's the answer you usually get? Yes. And that's the woman's way of saying, no, everything's horrible. You better ask me more. And so you say, no, what's wrong? And it turns into this lengthy conversation you didn't want to have. Well, that happened Sunday night. And a lot of what we talked about over many tears was, you don't have enough time for me. And, you know, I go into justification mode and I try, yes, I do. And, you know, you don't understand. I try to show you I love you. And she goes, if you love me, you'll spend time with me. And I got so frustrated, not with her, I got frustrated with, I don't have enough time. You know, how am I supposed to get the men's ministry stuff done? How am I supposed to get my work done? How am I supposed to, I don't spend enough time with the kids. And I went into justification, kind of, woe is me. And all she wants to know is, why don't you spend enough time with me? So this issue of time is really important to you and I. I love this from Seneca. He says, we are always complaining that our days are few and acting as though there would be no end. You have to think about this a little bit, and it's early. Let me explain what he's saying. I complain a lot that, you know, I don't have enough time. I don't have enough days. But at the same time, I act as if I've got this limitless supply. I'm going to live forever. And reality is, I have no clue how long I'm going to live. And so if I spend my day and I'm complaining all along, I don't have enough time. I don't have enough time. I'm never going to get it done. I don't have enough time. But then I act as if, well, I can take care of that tomorrow. I'll spend time with my son tomorrow. I'll spend time with my wife tomorrow. I'm acting as if I have a limitless supply, but at the same time I'm complaining that I don't have enough. And it's a contradiction. And so I lay at night in bed and I sit there and I can beat myself up about the fact that, God, I just didn't spend enough time with my son today. I didn't spend enough time with my wife today. I'll do better tomorrow. And then what happens? Tomorrow comes and I blow through my day. I lay in my bed at night and I go, gosh, I didn't spend enough time in the Word today. I didn't spend enough time with my wife today. and we act as if we'll just pick it up tomorrow. But the reality is, as we're going to find out in the study, we don't know how much time we have. You know, time's a great equalizer, isn't it? I don't care how old you are. I don't care how much money you have. I don't care how much education you have. You and I both get the same amount. We get the same amount of hours in the day. Whether you're poor, rich, famous, infamous, you get the same amount. It's an equalizer. And my hour is really worth the same as yours. I may charge more for what I do, but my hour, the hour itself has no more value or worth than yours. It's what we do with it. It's how we use it. And we have this attitude, it's mine to do with as I see fit. I choose to do with that hour what I want to do. And in reality, that's true. I can take a nap. I can go kick the soccer ball with my son. I can have a conversation with my wife. That's pretty rare. I can go take a jog. I can sit down in front of the tube and eat and watch TV and vegetate. And that's probably less rare. I can choose to do whatever I want with that hour, as you can. And I can use it wisely, or I can use it selfishly. Now, this is not a time management lesson. This is not going to teach you how to be a better manager, you know, one-minute manager. I've read those books. I fail with those books. This is not what this is about. This is more a perspective of what is time and what should we be doing with it as leaders. I love this from Martin Luther. I have so much to do today that I shall spend the first 3 hours in prayer. I read that and I thought, what is he smoking? What? I get the first part. I have so much to do today because that's my typical morning. When I'm in the shower, and I catch myself saying this a lot, I'm sitting there and I'm like, Lord, how am I going to get it all done? What am I going to do today? How do I accomplish this today? And I'm panicked in the shower about my day. But this is not what I end up saying. I shall spend the first 3 hours in prayer. I'm lucky if I even spend the first 10 minutes in my Bible. Totally different perspective, isn't it? That he's got this incredible day ahead of him, but you know what? I can't afford to not be on my knees in prayer. I'm going to spend the first 3 hours in prayer. Totally different perspective than what we typically bring to the table. Well, let's look at time from our perspective. We tend to think of time as a possession, don't we? It's mine. Here's what I mean. We think we own it. You know, I've got so many hours in a day, and they're mine to use the way I want to see fit. And the truth is, some of it we have little control over. If we want to keep our job, we show up on time. We get there. My oldest son, who isn't able to be here this morning, is in his first job since getting out of school. And he's learning that he has little control over his time. And the first time he went to work for this company, it's in Louisville. We live in Arlington. And I said, you better give yourself time. You better make sure you leave early. Having done that for most of the years of my life, driving to Dallas. And I said, you know, you're going to get stuck in traffic. Okay, Dad. Well, his first day at work, he was late because he got stuck in traffic. And his boss calls him in and he said, if you're ever late again, you're fired. And he came home that night, and it was so funny, you know, deer in the headlights. And he's like, Dad, my first day on the job, I got threatened to be fired. And I said, well, what happened? He goes, I was late. I said, you know, welcome to my world. You're an adult now. He owns your time. You don't get to spend with it what you want. But we have the attitude, it's mine. I think I own it. It's mine to use as I see fit. So I get up in the morning and I have this dream that I'm going to get to use my day the way I want to use it. And I make to-do lists. You know, I sit down and I write down my to-do list. I can't even get my to-do list done because somebody else has something they want me to do. I'll have clients call and they'll say, you know, that job you were been working on for 3 months and we've done nothing with, I need it today. Well, they're not on my to-do list. But I find that I can't tell them, well, forget you. Where were you a month ago when I was slow? No. I do what they want, and I bump somebody else. I don't really own my time quite like I think I do. I think sometimes, though, it belongs to me. It's my possession. I love this. Psalm 39, 4 through 5 says, Lord, make me to know my end, and what is the extent of my days? Let me know how transient I am. Behold, you have made my days as handbreadths, and my lifetime is nothing in your sight. Surely every man at his best is a mere breath. I've got to come to grips with the fact that, number one, he made my days. They're not mine. I don't own them. I can't even control how long I live. Now, I may exercise and eat right and hopefully prolong my days, but I'm not in control of my destiny. I'm not in control of how long I live. And as it says here, my life is just a breath. It's nothing in the sight of God. He's got a totally different perspective on time than I have. So this idea of ownership is kind of skewed. Time is a gift from God. When's the last time you thanked Him for how much time you have? I tend to complain that I don't have enough. And that's basically turning to God and saying, you know what? You weren't fair to me with the time you gave me. And we complain more than we thank. He's my source of life. I didn't create my life. He did. I can't even sustain my life. He's to be our means and our reason for life. And that's really what this lesson is about this morning, is He is the reason you're here. Not here in this room. Yeah, I guess it is a reason you're here. But more importantly, He's the reason you exist. And we should live that way. Totally different perspective. We tend to use time for our pleasure. We spend it on ourselves, don't we? If I've got any extra time in my day, if I get caught up and I've got a free Saturday, I typically think about me. What would I like to do with that time? But if you're married, what is your wife thinking about that time? I have some things I'd like you to do. I understand you have some free time today. Here's my list. You know, and the honey-do list. Honey-do this, honey-do that. And it really frustrates me because I've already booked my time. It's my possession. I'm going to spend it on my pleasure, what I want to do. Even our work has a self-centered motive, doesn't it? I mean, reality is, I don't go to work when I worked for somebody else. I didn't go to work every day just dying to make my boss happy and wealthy. I went to work to make money for me, and if he got in my way, I'd quit. And I did it on more than one occasion. I'd go start my own company. It's a little self-centered. It's for my pleasure. Our free time is for our benefit. We don't typically think of our free time to go serve somebody else, to go work in a mission, to go serve my kids. You know, no, it's about me. It's about what I want. This is kind of long, but J.I. Packer says it real well. Listen to what he says. We show much more concern for self-fulfillment than for pleasing our God. Typical Christianity today, at any rate in the English-speaking world, is its massive rash of how-to books for believers, directing us how to have more successful relationships, more joy in sex, becoming more of a person, realizing our possibilities, getting more excitement each day, reducing our weight, improving our diet, managing our money, licking our families into happier shape, and whatnot. For people whose prime passion is to glorify God, these are doubtless legitimate concerns, but the how-to books regularly explore them in a self-absorbed way that treats our enjoyment of life rather than the glory of God as the center of interest. Enjoyment of life. Isn't that what we're just obsessed with? You know, there are ministries today that are growing by leaps and bounds because what they preach is enjoyment of life. God is here to bless you and make your life happy. And they even take it to the degree that He's here to make you wealthy. But I read my scriptures and I don't get that message. Yes, God is here to bless me, but it's on His terms, not mine. And so we are self-absorbed. We're into self-fulfillment. We use time for our pleasure. And then we tend to reserve it for our purposes. What do I want to do today? We use available time to accomplish my agenda, your agenda. We spend time like money on our wishes. If I've got any extra cash, very rarely do I think, what would my wife like? Gosh, she would probably like, you know, a new dress. No, I think about, what new toy would I like to buy with that extra money? It's all about me. I don't wake up thinking, I've got some extra cash. What would my kids like me to buy them? No, I think, gosh, what would I really like to have that I've really been wanting for a long time? It's all about my pleasure. It's all about my purposes, my agenda, my wishes. And again, it's usually self-oriented. Surely every man walks about as a phantom. Surely they make an uproar for nothing. He amasses riches and does not know who will gather them. Psalm 39:6. We spend so much time as men trying to make a buck, and I could get hit by a bus tomorrow, and I have no idea where that money goes. What ends up, who ends up with it? My kids could end up with it. My creditors could end up with it. But we are obsessed with this thing that it's my possession. I spend it on my pleasures. I've had to come to grips over the years, and he's still teaching me this, that God has a reason for my existence. He has a reason for leaving me here. I questioned it at times. You know, Lord, take me. It's supposed to be better there. But he's left me here for a reason. He has a purpose for my life. He has a purpose for your life. When's the last time you asked him? Lord, you've given me these days. You've numbered my days. You know how long I'm going to live. Well, what do you want me to do with these days? And he's constantly perfecting us for his work, not ours. That's hard to get a grip on, guys, but God is in the process of perfecting you and I, and he uses trials, he uses tests, he uses all kinds of things to make us what he wants us to be. For what reason? So we'll be better businessmen? So we can make more money? No. So we can be about his business, his purposes, his work, not ours. Well, here's the leader in time. This is why this is important. Why it's important is because time, like leadership, has been given to us by God. Think about that. God has called you to be a leader. That's what we've talked about the last 7 weeks. It's not an option. If you're a man, if you have breath, if you have a pulse, you're a leader. A leader in your home, a leader with your wife, a leader with your kids, a leader in the workplace, a leader in this church. You are a leader. I don't care if you're a deacon. I don't care if you're an elder. I don't care if you serve on a board, a committee. You are a leader in God's eyes. And just like leadership, God has given you money, not money, but time, to do what he wants you to do. So it's important for us to get a grip on it. We are to be good stewards of our time. And I'm not necessarily a good steward. I'm a classic procrastinator. I will put off so many things. And it's usually the things, why do we procrastinate? It's the things I don't want to do. The things I like to do, I do right away because, boy, they're fun. But the stuff I don't want to do, I just put it off and put it off and put it off. And that is such lousy stewardship. And if I could ever get that through my head that God gave me that time, use it wisely. Don't waste it. But we squander it so easily. Ephesians 5, 16 and 17, you looked at this passage in your study this week. Making the most of your time because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Make the most of the time God gives you. Understand what he wants you to do with it. Ask him in the morning, Lord, what do you want me to do with the hours I have today? And allow him to impact your to-do list. And it may mean, you know, it's amazing how I'll let a client impact my to-do list, but I won't let God. And sometimes I'll get phone calls from some of you and you'll say, can you go to lunch today? And you may not know this, but on the other end of the phone, I'm struggling. Because I'm looking at my list and I'm thinking, man, I can't afford to have lunch with him today. But then I have to think, well, why did God have him call me? Maybe he's more important than what I have on my to-do list. And maybe I can trust God that if I go have that lunch with that man and encourage him, he'll allow me to get done what I need to get done. And the truth is, the testimony is, 9 times out of 10, I'm able to get done everything I need to get done because I made time for what God wanted to get done. It's amazing how that works. Making the most of our time. The quality of our leadership depends on what we do during time. Now that sounds kind of obscure. Let me explain what I mean. Our actions are time-based. In other words, you and I are time-based creatures. We live in time. And so if I'm going to lead, I have to take advantage of the time I have. I live in time. What we do each day really does matter. I can't be a good dad without investing time. I can want to be, I can dream about it, I can read books about it, I can go to seminars about it, but unless I spend the time, I'm wasting time. You know, we live in time. Everything we do as a leader is based on time. If you want to be a good dad, if you want to be a good husband, you better spend time with your wife. Otherwise, it ain't going to happen. If you want to be a stronger believer, if you want to grow in your faith, you better spend time with God, or it ain't going to happen. If you want to be a prayer warrior, you better spend time in prayer. So it's all time-based. The wise use of our time can determine our ability to influence others. You know, I sometimes struggle with the fact that I don't seem to be getting through to my kids. I don't seem to be getting through to my youngest son. Well, maybe you need to spend more time with them. And it's tough. It's a tough decision to make. Like last night, I had work I needed to get done. But one of the things we've tried to do over the years is to read to our kids. And I've been real negligent in that. My wife's faithful to do it. And last night, I made the decision, and it was out of conviction from this lesson, I'm going to spend time reading to my son. And it means so much to him. And you can ask my oldest son. Many of you know him. He's 23 now. I read to him every night religiously for years. All kinds of books. And he still remembers it. He still talks about it. What a bonding time. But you're going to have to make a sacrifice. The quality of our leadership is time-based. It's a quantity thing and it's a quality thing. Both of them go hand in hand. Psalm 90:12 says, "So teach us to number our days that we may present to you a heart of wisdom." Number your days. Know how many you have. Think about that. Think how many days you have and use them wisely. Time is a commodity, guys. We each receive the same amount. We've talked about that. Each moment of the day is a gift from God. Every breath you take is His gift. And it is a commodity. It has value. Like money, it requires stewardship. We've got to use it wisely. Don't waste it. We exchange time for those things we believe have some value to us, don't we? I get so many hours and I will exchange them for something in order to get something back. Let me explain it. Pleasure. I like pleasure. You like pleasure. So I will take whatever time I have and I will exchange it for pleasure. Watching TV. Playing golf. Some guys use it for pornography. Some take a nap. Whatever form of pleasure you tend to like, you will use your time for that. Think about your day. Think about how you use available time. We use it for power. How do we do that? Well, we spend countless hours at work. Some of us spend far more than we should. We spend hours on our careers, getting further education, taking this seminar, going to this meeting, trying to get better at what we do so that we can get more power. Education, training. How about popularity? You may not admit this, but every one of you want to be popular. Nobody gets out of bed in the morning, you know, "Man, I want to be the biggest jerk I can be because I don't want people to like me." No, you get out of bed thinking, "I want people to like me. I especially want my boss to like me and find value in me." So we spend a lot of time on popularity. We socialize. We build relationships. We work the network. We schmooze our boss. You know, we do what it takes to really make an impact. Why? Because we want popularity. And then possessions. Think about how much time you spend to get money, to own a bigger house, to drive a nicer car, to buy better clothes or more fancy clothes. Think about the time you invest in those things to get yourself toys. And keep this in mind. Whatever time you invested in those things, once they've worn out, you can't ever get the time back, can you? "Man, I worked so hard to get that car, and now it's gone. And I'll never get that time back. It's gone." It's a commodity. It's a non-renewable resource. Non-renewable. And that blows me away the more I think about it, that I can't ever get it back. This is from the book, The Time Trap. Written by a Christian, but listen to this. "Most of us sense something else about time. It's a resource. Moreover, it's a unique resource. It can't be accumulated like money, stockpiled like raw materials. We're forced to spend it whether we choose to or not, and at a fixed rate of 60 seconds every minute, it can't be turned on and off like a machine or replaced like a man. It's irretrievable." You can't get back any second. We just lost time. I can't get it back. It's gone. And so every time I use a minute, a second, an hour, a day, think about how you used it. How did you invest it? You ever spent money you wish you could get back? And it just frustrates you that, "God, I just wasted that money. I just bought that thing that I wished I'd never bought." My kids are learning that lesson. As they start making money and spending money, they realize that, "I just bought something and it broke and now I can't it has no value. You're right. And you can't get your money back either. Well, the time is the same way. Time can be misspent. You know this. We can waste it. We can squander it. We can neglect it. We do it on a regular basis. We take it for granted. You know, we just blow through life so easily and we just take it for granted and we use it so unwisely. And then we complain that we don't have enough. Dost thou love life, Benjamin Franklin said? Then do not squander time, for it's the stuff life is made of. You boil it all down, and you and I, all we have is time. That's really the only thing that has value. And yet, we squander it so easily. We waste it so easily. And then we complain that we don't have enough of it. Well, wise use of time requires setting priorities. This is the part I really hate. A leader must carefully weigh the value of different opportunities. As a leader, as a spiritual leader, you've got to begin to weigh out opportunities. The use of your time. You're not like everybody else. And everybody else may do things, but as a spiritual leader, as a Christian, you're going to have to sit there and say, I don't know if that's a wise use of my time. You're going to get phone calls from buddies asking you to do things, and you may have to sit and say, you know what? I don't know that I really need to use my time that way. There may be a better use of my time. We've got to determine what the purpose of time is for each of us. Why has God placed you here? Why does He give you breath? Why is He giving you the days He has predetermined for you, the Scriptures say? Why? What's He want you to do? Psalm 90:10 again, as for the days of our life, they contain 70 years, if due to strength, 80 years. Yet their pride is but labor and sorrow, for soon it's gone and we fly away. Frank and I had a real brief discussion this morning, and he said, you know, these are interesting questions in the lesson this week. And he said, he's at a point in his life where he's got to start thinking about, I don't know how many days I have left. Well, you know what? The truth is, I should be thinking the same thing. I don't read the obituaries, but you start reading the obituaries, and the older you get, the younger the people look. Isn't that amazing? Hey, that guy's only 40. I'm 50. He died of a heart attack. It could happen to me. We don't know. We don't know how many days we have. So we need to value them. Time can become a tyrant. It does for me. Many of you may have read the little book. I tried to find it at home, but it's called The Tyranny of the Urgent. Great book. If you never read it, read it. Time can end up ruling us. It controls us. We end up having no time for God, ourselves, or others. And it just whips us around. It's the tail wagging the dog. We master our minutes or we become slaves to them. We use time or time uses us. Sometimes I just hate seeing a clock because it's like another deadline, another meeting I'm going to be late for, another thing I got to rush off to. And it just keeps ticking. It never stops. The battery may go out, but time keeps going on. Time can end up being a tyrant if we're not careful. Well, let's spend this last few minutes talking about how to number our days, because we've looked at that passage. Teach us to number our days that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. This is from Psalm 90:12. Psalm 90 is really interesting. The first 11 verses of this psalm are a meditation. So David is meditating, and he's meditating to God. And he says, I'm going to meditate on God's greatness, on His eternal nature. He says, for 1,000 years are in your sight, or like yesterday when it passes by, or like a watch in the night. He's got a different perspective. When he looks at God and he says, you know, my days are just nothing compared to what you look at. You look at 1,000 years and they mean nothing to you because God is what? Timeless. So he's meditating on how great God is. He meditates on His holiness, on His wrath. And he meditates on his own sinfulness and frailty. And then out of that comes this, a prayer. And in this prayer, verses 12 through 17, he says, that David would make his life more meaningful. I want to have meaning in life. I want my life to really stack up for something. That God would establish the work of His hands. He uses the term, confirm the work of my hands. Let them be of value. Don't let them be wasted. That his life would count for God. That it might have eternal value. These are all the things he prays. That he prays for an increased awareness of the value and purpose of his time on earth. Lord, help me to understand why I'm here. Help me to understand why I take the next breath. Why you've called me to be your child. Why I'm part of this fellowship. You ever think about why God led you to this particular church or whatever church you go to? Why are you there? Is it to just park in a pew? and listen to a sermon and maybe give your money? No, God's got a reason for you to be there. And as men, it's leadership. Leading in that fellowship. Leading in your home. Wise use of our time. Numbering our days includes evaluating where and how we spend our days. Teach me to number my days. Teach me to look at my days, number them, understand that they're limited, that I can't get more than you're going to give me, and use them wisely. If you're too busy for God, you better start asking why. If you don't have time to get in His Word, then you need to ask, something's wrong with this picture, because I live and exist for Him. If you don't have enough time for His agenda, you are too busy. And I'm having to think about that in my life right now. The guys in my Monday night Bible study know, and I've shared this, that I feel out of control. I got too many things going on. I'm too busy. Here's four reasons you and I are too busy, guys. Real basic stuff. This isn't nuclear science here. We stay busy because of our egos. I want to feel important. When somebody calls me and says, can you do this? I know I should say no. But there's something within me always wants to say yes. Because it makes me feel important. A busy schedule is a sign of success, isn't it? Boy, that guy's busy. Look at him run and go. Look at him just flitting around everywhere. He must really be good because he's busy. We judge based on activity and performance. Man, that guy gets stuff done. He's also got a marriage that's about to crater. You know, if you guys had been able to be in my office, in my home, last Sunday night, you may have stopped coming. If you could have heard the conversation between my wife and I, because here I am teaching on leadership, and what she was hitting me between the eyes with was, why don't you lead in your own home? Leadership. We're too busy. We judge based on activity and performance. And many of you look at me and you'll say, well, gosh, he's so busy and he does so many things. How do you get it all done? You know what? I don't. And I do very few things very well. I drop so many balls because I'm too busy. And so are you. Some of us stay busy to cover up laziness. This sounds kind of interesting, doesn't it? How do you do that? Well, if you're busy, how are you lazy? Here's how. We're only avoiding the important or difficult responsibilities. I will find so many things to do other than the things I need to get done because I don't want to do them. I've become the king of procrastination. I know how to put off the inevitable because I'll just get busy doing other things. And then I can tell my wife when she says, why didn't you get that done? Well, gosh, I have been so busy. Let me go through my list. But we're inherently lazy because we're not doing the things we should do. We fill our lives with those activities we enjoy. We shirk those responsibilities we dislike. Is it easy reading your kids every night? Is it easy praying with your kids every night? Is it easy reading the scriptures to your kids? No. So we put it off. We're too lazy to do it. We expect the church to take care of it. We expect our wife to do it. Spiritual growth requires work, doesn't it? It requires work. People may stay busy because of greed. We're materialistic. Our priorities are upside down. We never have enough. I want more and more and more. I got to have a bigger car, a bigger house, more clothes, this, that, money, better computer, new Palm Pilot, whatever it may be for you. We never have enough. Greed for power, praise, prestige, position, possessions, and security. And it's different for each one of us. But we stay busy because I just got to have more. I'm not satisfied. So we work ourselves to death. Number four, people may stay busy because they are more concerned about pleasing men than God. This one really hits home to me. And again, it goes back to this issue of never learning to say no. If somebody wants me to do something, come speak to this group or come be at this thing or speak to the youth group, I'm like, oh, man, I'll be there. Because I want them to think highly of me, and I don't want them to think less of me because I turned them down. And I fear men more than I fear God. I don't go to God and say, do you really want me to do this? Is this the best use of my time? Would I be better off maybe going and spending that weekend with my wife instead of going and speaking at that fellowship or that church or whatever? How do you want me to spend the time? Our busyness is often a form of betrayal rather than commitment. How we betray our real priorities and responsibilities. And we just get busy. And then we're able to say, I don't have time. Sorry, I can't help you. And when the Lord calls us and says, would you do this? We say, Lord, sorry, not enough hours in the day, can't get it done. I'm not available. And we allow others to plan our schedule rather than God. Why? We don't want to disappoint them. We don't want to disappoint them. We've got to learn to say no. I have desperately got to learn to say no. And not let everybody and everything else control my day. You and I need to be faithful stewards, guys. What have you done with the time you've been given? What have you been doing with it? What do you plan to do with the time you have left? I don't know how long you're going to live. I don't know if you're going to make it through the day. I don't know if I'm going to make it through the day. What are you going to do with this day? How are you going to use it? A leader makes the most of every opportunity. He doesn't waste time because it's not his to waste. Think about that. It's not mine to waste. My money's not mine to waste. My body's not mine to waste. My health is not mine to waste. It belongs to God. I don't attempt to hoard my time. I share it. I share it with you. I share it with my family. I share it with the fellowship that I belong to. This is a long quote, but let me run through it real quickly because it's so good. Time is the inexplicable raw material of everything. With it, all is possible. Without it, nothing. The supply of time is truly a daily miracle, an affair genuinely astonishing when one examines it. You wake up in the morning and lo, your purse is magically filled with 24 hours of the unmanufactured tissue of the universe of your life. It is yours. It is the most precious of possessions. No one can take it from you. It's unstealable. And no one receives either more or less than you receive. Moreover, you cannot draw on its future. Impossible to get into debt. Man, I love that part. You can only waste the passing moment. You cannot waste tomorrow. It is kept for you. You can't waste the next hour. It's kept for you. You have to live on this 24 hours of daily time. Out of it, you have to spend health, pleasure, money, contentment, respect, and the evolution of your immortal soul. Its right use, its most effective use, is a matter of the highest urgency and of the most thrilling actuality. All depends on that. Your happiness, the elusive prize that you are all clutching for, my friends, depends on that. If one cannot arrange that income of 24 hours a day, shall exactly cover all proper items of expenditure, one does muddle one's whole life indefinitely. We shall never have any more time. We have and we always have had all the time there is. You and I have enough time. We just don't have the right perspective. And I'll close with this. This is God's perspective on time, guys. We need to see His viewpoint. When He looks down from heaven and sees our day, here's what He sees. You and I must understand who we are as Christians. Who are you? If you are a believer, you need to come to grips with this. You're a child of God. You're a citizen of heaven. That's where you exist. That's where you belong. You are an exile, a sojourner, the Scriptures say, an alien in this world. This is not your home. The old hymn says, you're just passing through. You're passing through. And you could pass through today. It's just a place God has placed us for not right now. We are eternal creatures, not temporal. But we are so tied to the temporal. We live in the here and now. Number two, we must comprehend where we are. Where are you? You're a child of God, but where has God left you? Well, He's left you here for a reason. And you live in a time of darkness. Pick up the paper today. We live in evil days. It's an evil time. We live in a time where sin seems to be rampant. And this world's time, the Scriptures say, is limited. God will not tolerate it forever. His Son is returning. And we need to be aware of that. We're tempted to live for the moment, aren't we? But we're to rescue the time God has given us. Use it wisely. Rescue it. Redeem it. Just like He redeemed us. Take it. Use it wisely. Use it for His purposes. And finally, we must respond to the question of why we are here. Why are you here? I am an ambassador for Christ. You are an ambassador of Christ. You are not whatever your job title is. You are an ambassador. You're on a mission for Him. We're to be busy making disciples. Yes, you. Yes, me. Not Ted. Not Greg Cook. We are all to be making disciples. We are here to represent the Savior. We are here to glorify God. And we are here to enjoy God forever. Enjoy God forever. You enjoy God. You enjoy your life. Boy, there, my wife, the thing she said to me that night that hit me like a ton of bricks was, she said, "You have no joy." And I argued with her. I got mad. How could you say I don't have joy? And I was illustrating the lack of joy arguing with her. We lack joy. We should be glorying in God that we have every minute to use for His glory, to use for His purposes, for His kingdom. It's His. We need to use our time wisely. Let me close this in prayer, guys. Father, we come to You this morning. We thank You for the time You've given us. Thank You that we didn't waste it. Thank You that we were here. And there's a lot of other places we could have been, Father, but thank You that You drew every one of us here. I pray, Father, that we would approach the rest of this day with the attitude that it is Your day. These are Your minutes, Your seconds, Your hours. Let us use them for Your glory, not ours. Let us use them for Your purposes, Your agenda, not my agenda. Father, I want to live to bring glory and honor to You. Help me get my eyes focused on You and not me. Help me understand that I have enough hours. They're given to me by You. You know exactly what I need to get done what You want done. Just help me see what that is. Thank You for these men. Bless them, use them, encourage them, strengthen them. Make them the men You want them to be, that we might be truly spiritual leaders in a very dark, decaying, and dying world. Thank You for Your Son, who gave all that we might have all. And I pray this in His heavenly name. Amen. Guys, pick up your lesson on the way out, and it will be the last lesson in this series next week.